I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore. When my flesh becomes weak, it's then I can speak to the Savior who's with me each day. Oh, Father, forgive me, hear my plea, and he washes my sin away. Each time that I bow to give him thanks for removing my guilt and shame, he cannot recall what I'm talking about, for his answer is always the same. Oh, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know tis true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. Will be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all the golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender, the leading me in paths that I must trust. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the stormy tide, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and none of you shall harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
Well, good to see you guys back tonight. It is one hot day out there, but we're in a good place tonight, and the weather's supposed to get milder over the next few days, so that'll be good. Continue to pray for rain. And let me tell you a little bit about Catherine. She is doing good. Bless her heart. I think she could be on her deathbed, and she would be positive and encouraging and rejoicing. She's just that way. And so each time I go see her, I'm just amazed. I walk in, and she's just happy as she can be. She's going to be having a procedure tomorrow. They're looking towards go in and take open up this carotid artery and remove, to kind of clean it out or something. And so y'all pray for her on that. Think she'll be there maybe one or two days after the surgery and get to go home. And then also Donna Barrett was telling me this morning that she too is having some kind of procedure on her heart. She wasn't even sure exactly what it is. I don't think it's like major open heart surgery or anything, but she wasn't sure what procedure would be, but that's going to be Tuesday at some point. She was unable to let me know exactly when, but pray for her on Tuesday as well, Donna Barrett. And outside of that, we're glad you're back tonight. We're going to have us a good night. Look forward to hearing from Brother David. So let's ask the blessings and get going. Joe Cook, will you lead us, please? things have slowed down in a hurry for this summer. There's not a whole lot to announce other than kind of get it on your mind. It won't be long before we'll be having Vacation Bible School, just about 6 weeks away. And that's going to be the last 3 days of July, 29th, 30th, and 31st, Wednesday through Friday. It'll be a good time, so be planning on that.
All right, if you take your Bibles and go with me tonight to John chapter number 5, please. John chapter number 5. I'm going to continue our series on the teachings of Jesus. And tonight we're going to look at what did Jesus teach us about God as a Father? What did Jesus teach us about God as a Father? Begin reading with verse number 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh here too, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also do the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which was sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And let's go ahead and read verse number 25 down through verse number 29. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation." Now, all of us in this room are known by some kind of title. Brother Chris is known as pastor. That is one of his many titles that he has. I am known as music director, worship leader, whatever title that you want to give me. To my wonderful wife down here, my title is Shug or Babe. Depends on what mood she's in, you know. And there could be some other titles thrown in there. To my beautiful three daughters, I am known as Dad. To my mom and dad, I was known as their son. When I was growing up, I had a good friend of mine, and he gave me the title of Fergie, after the great pitcher Ferguson Jenkins. My next-door neighbor gave me the title of Catfish. I told my Sunday school class a couple of weeks ago about this, because he was a great fisherman, and when I was a little kid, after they came back and they were cleaning the fish, I would always go over there and ask him, "You have any catfish?" And so for a lot of years, I was named Catfish. I've also had the title of pastor, youth director, song leader, deacon, Sunday school teacher, and on I could go. If you would stop for just a few moments, you could think about you. You have many titles also, father, son, daughter, whatever they could be. So all of us are known by some kind of titles. When you study theology and you study about God, you find that he also has many titles or many different names. Matter of fact, I was reading this week as I was studying this, someone said that God has over 900 different names and titles in the Bible. There are 23 primary specific names or titles. One is Yahweh. It is the personal name of God. It means I am who I am. Another one is Elohim. It's a plural form. It's indicating his majesty, his power, and that he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Another is Adonai. It means Lord or Master. It denotes the authority and ownership and the rightful rule over creation that God has. Another one is El Shaddai. It's translated as God Almighty. It emphasizes his inexhaustible power, sufficiency, and the ability to provide and to bless. Elyon, meaning God Most High. It highlights his supreme position and authority over all powers. So those are some of his primary names. But there are also many compound names where they take his primary name and they add something to it, such as Jehovah Jireh. It means the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner. Or Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. I can't speak for God, but I think if we could interview God and if we would ask him, hey, what is your favorite title? What is the name that you enjoy being called the most? I would bet you it might be Father. The very first time that we have Jesus speaking in the New Testament, remember he's in the temple and he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He's teaching and he's questioning them. And remember his mom and dad run off and leave him and they finally realize that he's gone and they come back to get him. And when they come back to get him, they say, what are you doing? Why did you stay behind? And you remember what Jesus said? I must be about my Father's business. When I was thinking about that as I was putting this together, I just kind of sat back in my chair and I closed my eyes and I just got to try to imagine God looking down this little 12-year-old boy and hearing his son at 12 years of age say, you know what, I must be about my Father's business. And I could just see a big old smile come across the face of God and I can see God calling a couple of 100 million angels and saying, hey, come over here, look at my son. I'm so proud of my son. Hey, that's my boy down there. I'm the father of Jesus. 189 times in the Gospels, the word father is used. 124 of those times, it is in the Gospel of John. If anyone could speak about having a perfect father or what a perfect father should be, wouldn't it be Jesus? Because you know what? Jesus had a perfect father in God Almighty. And in this text, it's really one of the more wonderful texts of the scripture because Jesus is going to give us five characteristics of his father. Five characteristics that God had as a father. The first one is that he was unified with the Son. Let's look at verse number 17 and verse number 19 once again. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh here too. And I work. Verse number 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father doeth, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Hold your finger there and go with me to John chapter number 17. In John chapter number 17, Jesus is praying and he's praying to the Father. In verse number 1, these words spake Jesus and lift up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may be glorified. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Look at verse number 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given to them, that they may be one. Now notice this, even as we are one. Jesus says, me and the Father, we are unified. We are as one. Men are prideful many times, aren't they? There's nothing more devastating to a family when a child and a father gets at odds. And a father sometimes is unwilling to take "I'm a sorry" or get back and make restoration. Jesus is looking at his father and he says, one of the things that I love about my Father is that we are united. We have feelings one towards another. We have the same plan. We have the same purpose. Hey, we are unified. The second one is that he and the Father, or the Father loved him. Notice verse number 20 of John chapter number 5. The Bible says, for the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. Jesus says, you know what? I know that my Father loves me. Back in John chapter number 17, once again, in verse number 23, Jesus is speaking here once again, and he says, I in them, and thou in me, that thou may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou givest me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. And notice verse number 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast lovest me may be in them, and I in them. You see, there was no doubt that Jesus knew that his Father loved him. I said this to my Sunday school class this morning, and I've probably said this to you in my preaching, but I don't remember a time that my dad ever said, I love you. But you know what? There was never a time in my life that I didn't know that he loved me. I watched my dad get up early in the morning and fix his lunch. Remember when them big old thermoses before Stanley, you know, he'd fix a big old thermos of coffee and he carried on his lunch, and every morning he'd get up, he'd coat himself with suntan lotion all on his face and everything, and he would get out and he would go to work. I remember when vacation time come, the summertime, when everybody else was going on vacation. My dad, he loved to plow, and he ran a tractor, plowed for one farmer, Marcus Graves. And during wheat season, I remember my dad getting up about 4:30 on those mornings and doing that same routine. He would make his breakfast and make his coffee, and by 5 or 5:30 he would get out, and I'd hear the pickup start, and he would drive out there, and all day long he would stay in the field driving that tractor, and he wouldn't come home till late at night, and all those years that's how he spent his vacation. He didn't go anywhere. He worked, you know why? Because he was trying to provide for the family that he loved. I never one time questioned that my dad loved me, and listen to me, as fathers, our children should never question the fact that we love them no matter what they do. Hey, we still love you. We may not approve of all that you do, but we want you to know that we love you and we are here for you no matter what. That's what Jesus did. Or Jesus looked to the Father and he says, you know what? I know the Father. He loves me. Not only that, but the Father blesses the Son. In verse number 20, the second part of that, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the quickeneth whom he will. That word right there in verse number 20, he showeth him all things. He's showing greater works. There's a verse that's always amazed me. It's in the book of Hebrews. And it's this: For the joy of the Lord that was, for the joy that was set before the Lord, he went to the cross. You see, before Jesus came to this world, before he was born of Mary, God the Father took him and showed him, hey, when you go to the cross, all of these people will be yours. He blessed him. He worked through him. He accomplished great things through him. Not only that, but the Father gave him authority. You look at verse number 22, it says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but he hath committed all judgment into the Son." You look in verse number, I believe it is in verse number 27, "And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." You see, whatever power God the Father had, he gave to Jesus. And he gave him the authority to carry out those plans. The last one is, and don't get excited because I'm only about halfway through. Verse number 23. "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which had sent him." How did God the Father honor Jesus? He said, "You can't get to me unless you go through the Son." Jesus would say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto me but by me through the Father." I don't know why I can't think today, but that's the way my mind works today. But here's the thing: is he honoreth him. The Father honors the Son. I believe that there is a great illustration of this. It's found in Luke chapter number 15. And I want you to turn there, and that's where we'll stay, and I'll go through this fairly quick. But in Luke chapter number 15, you know this passage as the prodigal son. Matter of fact, if you have a heading in your Bible, that is probably what your heading will say: the prodigal son, the parable of the lost son. But I don't think the son is the main character of this story. I think it's the Father. I think it illustrates God the Father to us. So let's read through it, and I'll give you these points. In verse number 11, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he delivered unto them his living." Now let's stop there for just a few moments. Number one, he is asking his father to liquidate at least half of his assets and give him cash. Now, some of us, when our parents die or we get an inheritance, it's not always in cash. Many times it's in property or it's in assets. But this young man didn't want property. He didn't want assets. What he wanted was cash, because he wanted to take that money, that inheritance, and he wanted to put it to use immediately for his pleasure. Now, I don't know about you as a father, but I know me. If one of my daughters would come to me and say, "Hey, Dad, guess what? We want our inheritance now," I would tell them, "Too bad. You ain't getting it. Go somewhere else." But you know what? That's not what this father did. This father willingly chose to liquidate half of his estate and give to his youngest son. Can I tell you tonight that that's like our Father? You might say, "Well, how is that like our Father?" Because God doesn't make his people do anything. If you don't want to worship Him, if you don't want to follow Him, if you don't want to live for Him, God is not the kind of Father that's going to stand over you and make you do it. Now, mind you, I know that there are consequences when you go your own way. There are consequences. But can I tell you tonight that our Heavenly Father lets you go your own way if you are hell-bent to go your way. That's what this father did. This youngest son was saying, you know what? I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go out and live my own life and do my own thing. And the only way that I can do that is if you give me half of the inheritance. And the father gave him half of his inheritance. Verse number 13. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. One translation said this, he wasted his money with wild excess. Now, we don't know exactly what he did. The older son said, you know what? He wasted all of his money with the harlots and those type of things. He may or he may not. But one thing that we do know is that he wasted all of his money. How many of you know when you get into financial situations that Murphy's Law takes place? What could go wrong will go wrong. Well, it just so happens when he gets through all of his money that famine comes into the land. And verse number 14, he says, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. All of his money's gone. He didn't have any money to buy food, which at this point was a very expensive product. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Think about this. I believe that his father was very wealthy. I believe that this young boy was raised in the lap of luxury. He had everything that he wanted, and now he has gone from the lap of luxury to living with the pigs and slopping the pigs. Verse number 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger. When I studied this, I read someone that gave this analysis of these hired servants. They wasn't servants that lived in the house of the father. These servants were day laborers. These servants didn't necessarily have a home. Maybe some of these servants were homeless, but the father would go out when he would need day laborers, and he would hire these day laborers. And the son says, you know what? I don't even care if I live in the same house as my father. I just want to be one of his day laborers that he hires periodically, because I'm perishing with hunger, and at least they have something to eat. Verse number 18. I will arise and go to my, what's that word? Have you ever thought about why he didn't say, I will go home? I mean, think about that. I mean, if you're away and you're thinking about home, and you're thinking about the relationship of your parents, and most of us would say, you know what? I think I'm going to get up and I think I'm going to go home. But that's not what he's thinking about here. He says, I'm going to arise and I'm going to go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I believe that true repentance takes place here. I don't think that the man was just sorrowful that he ended up in a bad spot. I think he was truly repentant, and I think he was truly sorrowful. He doesn't go back. He's not going to go back and demand his rights, saying, you know what, you're my dad, and I expect you to take care of me. No, a repentant and somebody that takes responsibility, he says, you know what, I'm going to go back to my dad, and I'm not going to demand my rights. I'm going to say, you know what, I'm not even worthy to be called your son, but could you make me one of your day laborers? I'm telling you, that's true repentance. But here are the characteristics. The father loved the son. Notice verse number 20. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. When I was reading that this week, I just stopped. Because you know what happens to many men when their children mess up and run off sometimes? What are you doing back? Oh, I see you need me now, don't you? Oh, can't make it on your own, can you, big boy? Now, I'm not saying all men, but I know a lot of men that they have that attitude. Can I tell you that I believe that the father must have been hurt emotionally when that young son came and says, I want you to be dead and I want my inheritance. I don't know if there's a greater pain in all of life than when a son wants you dead before you're even dead. But here's one thing I know. He loved his son. I don't know how long he went out, and I believe, and I've heard many preachers preach on this text and say, you know what? Every day the father would go out and he would look down the road and he would stay there for a while looking down the road just to see if that son would come home. I don't know if it was a month. I don't know if it was 2 months. I don't know if it was 3 months. But I know that because of the love that father had for that son, he would go out and he would look. And one day he was looking down the road and he saw a little figure. And he thought to himself, you know what? He kind of walks like my son. Hey, he's kind of got that stride. He's kind of got the build of my son. Many dads would have sat down and let the son come to them and beg and plead and oh, Dad, would you please take me back and would you help me? Oh, Dad, would you do this? And not this father. You know why? Because he loved. And when he saw the son, he said he had great compassion. And the Bible says that, hey, he ran. I can't run anymore. I run like a girl. I tell Bam and Nora when we do Meals on Wheels, I run and I say, I run like a girl. Please don't tell anybody. And here I am telling anybody I run like a girl now. But that father, he ran to where that son was and he met him and stand up, Mike. Come on, stand up, my friend. Hurry up, hurry up. And he put his arms around him and he kissed him. Woo! Amen. Now here's what it means. It means that he kissed him and he kissed him. And he kissed him, and he kissed him, and he kissed him, and he kissed him, and he hugged him. You know why he did that? Because he loved him. He loved him. You know what our Father does? You know what our Heavenly Father does when we go our way and we get away from the things of the Lord and we decide, you know what? I'm not going to do what God wants me to do anymore. I'm going to go my own way. And we make a wreck of our lives. And we get in that downtime. And we get on our knees. And we say, oh God, I've sinned. Oh God, I'm coming back to you. God, would you forgive me? God doesn't say, "Yeah, work it out yourself." You know what he does? As soon as we get on our knees, and as soon as we ask, as soon as we repent, and as soon as we ask God to forgive us, stand up. Mike, stand up again. That's us. Here is God. Woo! Ah, praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know what? He kisses us over and over and he hugs us. And he says, you know what? This is my son. He's come home. You know why he does that? Because he loves us. Amen. Woo! You say, well, I don't know about that. If you look at these other parables, there's the parable of the lost sheep. He leaves the 99 in verse number 4, and he goes out, and he finds the one sheep that's lost. And the Bible says, and when he cometh home, he calleth his friends and his neighbors, and he said unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep was lost. There's the lost piece of silver. Man, she calls the family in, and guess what? They rejoice, for I have found a piece which was lost. Can I tell you tonight? If you mess your life up, if you get away from God, He's not going to be mad. He's going to be like the Father. Every day He's going to look, oh, I wish my son would come back. I wish my boy would come back. And when we take that step towards Him, He runs. And He wraps His arms around us and says, I forgive you. You're restored. Why? Because He loves us. He loves us. Fathers, we've got to love our kids. And sometimes they're not easy to love, amen? But I'm telling you, we've got to love our kids if we're going to be like God. You go on in this text, and he says, you know what? Bring the best robe. He didn't say, just go get that old robe off of the, I think there's a bunch of robes over. No, he says, hey, man, you go get the very best robe, and you put it on him. And you put shoes on his feet, and you kill the fatted calf. We're going to eat, and we're going to be merry. He blesses him. He blesses him. Do you really believe tonight that God blesses you? Everything that we have is because of God. I stand before you tonight as a testimony to the blessings of God. I thought at one time in my life that He would put me on the shelf and I'd no longer get to do what I do. But He's blessed you people for 20 years by blessing me now. When you look at me, you ought to just smile and just say, boy, that's a work of God right there. He blesses. I look at Mike and Penny. I love everybody, but they're two of my favorite people. Because I'm telling you, you're looking at the blessings of God right there. Mike was a scoundrel at one day in his life. Amen? Yeah, I know, everybody knew. But I look over there and I see them sitting there, and I just see the blessings of God. You just bless my heart when I see y'all. Are they perfect? No. But I'm telling you, God's blessing. Not only that, but He gives them authority. He said, man, go get that ring. You know, in that day, the king had a ring, and when they signed documents, that king would dip it in wax, and he would put his authority, he would put his stamp, and the father said, go get that ring. Bring that ring over here and put that ring on him, because he's going to represent me now. And then he honors him. He honors him. Notice in the last of this text, verse number 24, for this is my son. He was dead. He's alive again. He's lost and found, and they begin to be merry. He says, you know what? He's not a runaway. He's my son. Now, he didn't get another portion of the inheritance. He spent all his. But his father didn't say, hey, this is the castaway. This is my son. That's a father's love. I think if we'd all be honest with ourselves tonight, we've all kind of been in that prodigal son territory. Maybe not full-fledged. And aren't you glad the father loves you and says, if you'll confess your sins, I'll forgive you and and I'll restore you. Dads, we sometimes got to, and I'm talking to me, we got to get over our pride sometimes. And no matter what, we've got to be like the Father. We got to love. And we got to bless. And we've got to honor. And if you'll be like the Father is, I promise you, no matter what happens, God will bless you. And He'll honor you. Let's pray. God, we love you. God, thank you. God, you know that there was a time in my life as a father, I'd have been willing to cut ties with my kids because I got prideful and I was hurt. But God, thank you. Thank you that you convicted me. Thank you that you opened my heart again. Thank you when I came to you, you forgave me. God, I don't know what's going on in the lives of everyone that is here tonight. But I know about life. And I know sometimes in families things can get all mixed up and all bent out of shape. And I've watched too many men in my life bow up and sever relationships of their children. God, I pray that you'd help us not to do that tonight. Help us to love as you love. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please? Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of invitation. Maybe God's spoken to you tonight. If He has, you come.